Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, well, Sue's News is coming up here in a couple of minutes, but there was a visual change to the show that Sue certainly noticed at the beginning, but we were talking about serious stuff, so there was no actual follow-up.
Yeah, you shaved your entire face, and it's freaking me out. Fred.
Oh, no, it is. When I saw him earlier today, I was like, wait a minute, what just happened?
Well, yeah, Fred, I'm staring at your chin.
Yeah,
I can't figure
weird,
out what that is.
I've had a beard for at least, I'd say 10 years, because my daughter, this is going to be interesting tonight. I thought my wife was going to be surprised, but damn it, she was listening at 3 o'clock. But Alexa's never seen me clean shaven. I've gotten really trimmed down.
Yes.
No, but I haven't clean shaven in a long, long time. So I decided to do it. I just got sick of it. Here's the bottom line is this. It's so embarrassing. I can't really trim my own beard. You're going to laugh at that, but I don't feel like I can do it right.
How is that possible?
Because I have no skills outside of yapping
don't
on the radio.
You just put a certain kind of thing on the electric razor,
okay,
and then it does it, right?
Maybe you can say that, Sue, but let me just tell you about this. In theory, that's true,
yeah.
And I tried to do this today. So there was a part of me today that thought, I was sick of it. I go to someone to get my beard trimmed, as embarrassing as that is.
That is so embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, but I'm being honest. I'm nothing but honest here and self-aware. So I thought, you know what? Because I've been feeling well and I'm back from Greece and stuff like that, I hadn't gone in. I thought, you know what? I'm just going I did plan on shaving it all, but then for a while, I'm like, well, maybe I can do this myself. But then I'm kind of looking at my face. I'm like, nah, it's not working. So I had to use the guard, as they say.
Yeah, that's it.
And then I used the other, you know, then I took the guard off and I tried not to cut my face up, which I think I succeeded in. Fred, you're looking confused.
So yeah, I don't know what a guard is.
The guard is
the thing you put on the...
It determines how short the cut, your haircut might be. Like, if you're going to get a buzz cut, the guard's going to have, you know, whatever rating. I don't know. You know, I'm not a hairstylist, nor do I play one on the radio. But when you take the guard off, then you just have the metal,
right,
you know,
you can just
deal.
Shave all the way down. So that's what I was thinking, Fred. He just puts the right guard on, and it should work and get it down to what the length he wants.
There are these little tools that aren't complete, like, anyway, nobody wants to hear this. The bottom line is I don't feel comfortable doing it myself. I've kind of had someone do it. But today I'm like, you know what? What the hell? It's time for a change. And Alexa really has never seen me clean shaven, because if I was at that point or if it was really, really close to that, it was before she was, you know, 4 years old. So the reaction at home tonight might be interesting. Now, I'll probably just start growing it back. But, you know, Fred and I have known each other for a long time. So there was a period, and I don't remember the year, Fred, but Fred had a mustache for the longest time.
Yes.
And I remember the reaction I came in. Carol Daniel and I were like, whoa, what happened to Fred? And you've never gone back after that, right?
No. I haven't.
His sons lectured him.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they said, you look like a perpetrator. Yeah. You know, you should shave that when you come into our middle school.
That's a good,
you're scaring
that's a
people.
Good word there, Fred.
So I shaved it instantly.
How long ago was that?
Noah was in seventh grade.
We
so
were in this
probably
building.
10 years
oh, wow.
ago.
We were in
yeah.
this building,
yeah.
right? Okay.
So my wife said, how did they get you to do in one day what she's been trying our whole marriage to get me to do?
Perpetrator, that's the key.
Yeah,
you just
got to
throw that word out there and then you're done.
Well, you know who's going to be the most happy about this? And I'm not going to promise you that it's going to stay.
Oreo the bunny?
No.
Oh.
My mom. Because my mom, I don't think, ever liked the facial hair. So if she's listening this afternoon, she's
going to... Judy Reardon.
Yeah, Judy Reardon. I'll send you a picture. Because she's never been a big fan. And the reason I had it is because two things. I really kind of gave up 10 years ago caring what I look like. I mean, it's pretty apparent on a regular basis. So I do like it when it has a certain length. Like Alex Rich, he's really good. He keeps things trimmed up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Too much effort for me. So I let it grow, and then it gets shaggy, and then it looks gray.
And then you panic, and you try
and you look
to,
like David Letterman.
Yeah.
Right.
I was looking a little like David Letterman the last couple of days.
Okay, no, you were not.
Well, maybe not quite that
okay.
much. But it might take, you know, this is the other thing that kind of hacks me off about the beard, is one of the reactions I always used to get when I was around 50 years old is, man, you don't look 50 years old. You look like you're in your 30s. And I was very, you know, happy with that.
Yeah.
Because when I was 20, one of the things that happened when I was younger in my career, when I was trying to get TV jobs, is I looked like I was 15. So when I was 22 and 23, they're looking at my tapes thinking, yeah, I don't think about, you know, this guy. But I've liked having a trimmed facial hair situation, but I decided to go rogue today, and I shaved it all down. I didn't even nick my face up. It feels like just a baby's bottom right now, Sue.
Yeah, well, I bet it does if you're used to the scratch.
It's hard to look at.
It's, well,
is it jarring, Fred?
Yeah, it is.
See, now you're going to make me feel bad about doing this.
It looks good. It looks great on you, but it's just not what we're used to.
Yeah, it takes us a minute. We are not good at adapting. It takes us at least a couple days, wouldn't you say? And then Fred's leaving, so he's going to have to freak out all next week or whatever.
And considering we stare at your face for 3 hours a day.
Yeah, well, no. You know. But my favorite part is like when you go in, like Tammy, who is our great security officer at the front desk, she had to notice right away, but she doesn't know me very well. She's not going to say, what the hell happened to your face? And then I see Kevin Wheeler, and he kind of ignores it too. So I was waiting, you know,
for
I'm
someone.
Always waiting for reaction as well. And this clearly, ladies and gentlemen, is the most important topic on the topic why we're
right.
spending 4 minutes on it. But let's do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Today is National Solitaire Day. Huh. If you like to play, I haven't played that in forever. It's also National Vanilla Pudding Day and National Buy a Musical Instrument Day.
Ooh, I like that one.
Know, I wonder if more people play solitaire still with cards or just on their phones.
My wife plays on her phone every night.
Wow.
I see when I fly and I walk down the aisle, I see maybe two people playing on their phones.
Really?
Yeah,
and it's solitaire specifically.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
On the musical instrument thing, you just reminded me of something. At the beginning of the school year, I rented a violin for my daughter because she was in strings.
Oh, yeah.
And I just sent my... Tomorrow's the last day of school. It's a half day. And I just sent my wife a text that said, hey...
What do we do with this violin?
No. Where is the violin? Because
And
it was so funny. We get a, remember she had the concert about a month
yes,
ago? We get a nice email from her strings teacher. Alexa has gone so well. She's done so. I'm like, she hasn't practiced once. How in the hell has she done that? So I better get the violin back because we got to take it back. Getting charged every month.
It's a plot twist, Mark. It wasn't actually the guitar that Oreo was strumming on the other night.
It might have been the violin. You might be right about that.
This just, to me, means that everybody else in that class is horrendously bad, and she must stand out as someone who's okay.
No, she just does it at school, and she decided for next year she's going to do, you decide strings or technology, and she decided technology.
Well, that's probably, yeah, well, right.
And
have
she
to
can
make
go back.
That choice.
I think in middle school they go back to musical instruments.
Tough times.
Yeah.
On this day in history, 67 years ago in 1958, Jerry Lee Lewis arrived in England to begin his first tour in the UK after confirming to the press that he did marry his 13-year-old first cousin, and then the tour was canceled. Gross.
You should have seen Ethan's face. Ethan doesn't know that little bit of musical history.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't even play music there. Because
wait.
who wants to know that? Yeah.
Wait, this is the guy that did Great Balls of Fire, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
13-year-old cousin.
No.
Oh, yeah.
All of our legend... I mean, if you're being honest here, we talked about Chuck Berry yesterday. All of our legendary musicians, they have some flaws. They have things. They have character issues.
That's pretty bad, though.
That I'm going to rank that in the top three.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
And on this day in history, 48 years ago, she said, moving on while Ethan is in shock. In 1977, Janet Guthrie became the first female driver to qualify for the Indy 500 on the final day of time trials. That was a really big deal.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the Indianapolis 500 is this Sunday.
That's right.
And, okay, here's what they're doing. As part of the festivities this year... There's going to be a Weenie 500 featuring all six of the Wiener Mobiles.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love it.
That's great.
Now, the Weenie 500 is the first competitive race for the entire Wiener Mobile fleet. The first time all six vehicles have gathered in one place over a decade. Oh, it's momentous, Fred. Now, each Wiener Mobile will represent a distinct regional hot dog, okay? We've got the Chi Dog, or C-H-I, so I didn't know whether it was Chi or Chi for Chicago or You know?
Is it? Well, it's probably Shy Dog. It's probably the Chicago Dog, right? Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. If Chicago says a Shy Dog, that's what I went with. Anyway, that represents us.
There are pills these days for Shy Dogs. I know that.
And number two is the New York Dog, representing the East Coast, the Slaw Dog for the Southeast, the Sonoran Dog, representing the Southwest, the Chili Dog for the South, and Seattle Dog for the Northwest.
I can support them all.
Yeah, why not?
Really,
so right?
The 500 is this weekend, is that correct?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw something the other day that on Sunday, one in every 1,100 people will be in attendance from the United States. One of every 1,100 people in the United States
will be in attendance.
Be in attendance
yeah,
for
it's
the
a big deal.
In 2016, there was, I just looked it up, 500,000 people there.
500,000
yeah, people. What doesn't seem like enough to make that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good at math, so I'll just kind of accept that. I've never been. I've always wanted to do it. I've said
I'm with you on that.
In the past,
I went.
Crazy.
Well, no. You agree? What?
I think there was that many.
Well, no. That's not the challenge.
I agree.
One in 1,100 people.
Yeah, that can't be. Maybe it is.
I never went to the Indy 500 because I would go to the Derby so many years, and it was a double whammy with expenses. I used to get invites, and it's a fun, you know, it's like one of those things that if you even don't really care much about the race itself, it's an experience.
Yeah, but
like
it
the Kentucky Derby.
I went the year it got rained out sometime in the 80s, and I even had on my little Vans that had like a flag, like a winter flag on them. Oh, well. They say it also will include the Hot Dogger racing suits, by the way, in the Wienermobile. The race is going to happen Friday at 1 p.m. our time. It'll stream live on Fox Sports and at IndyCar on Fox social media accounts if you don't want to miss it.
I took a tour of the Indy 500 track when I visited the museum there.
It's pretty cool.
And yeah, it is pretty cool, but they could put you in a car. And I think we were going like, we weren't driving it. They were
70?
Driving us. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was like a minivan or something.
Ooh. But I'll tell you, if you get in a real one, it'll freak you out.
I went 150.
Like you think you're going to die.
I did 150 over a gateway one
time.
Did
you think you were going to die?
No, because Curtis Francois was the driver. And honestly, it didn't even feel like 150.
Wow.
And we were in a Corvette, and it was pretty cool.
That is cool. There's apparently a proposal, did you guys see this, to allow flag football in the 2028 Summer Olympics?
Yes.
Yes.
And the NFL has approved it. My theory here is that NBA players get a chance at gold, and the NFL players are like, well, what can we do? That's my theory. Have you won, and what are your thoughts?
Well, my friend John Ziegler, who was on a couple of nights ago, and John is always very consistent, he made the prediction 2 years ago that the wussification of the NFL is going to result in flag football in the end, because, you know, they always make these rule changes. By the way, they decided not to ban the tush-push, which I think
was a good
move. But I like watching, you know, they've done this at the
All-Star
game or whatever they call it. So I think it's kind of fun. I want my daughter to play flag football. A lot of girls are playing flag football. I played it when I was a kid. So I don't know. You can have a high-level competition in flag football.
What country can take us on?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
When you played it, were you in a Lutheran grade school?
No, I went to public school, so this was not in Lutheran grade school.
Because we did it in a Lutheran grade school. We didn't have soccer. So
but
we
had
flag
football.
Yeah.
It was part of the Park District when I was up there in Niles, Illinois, the suburb that I grew up in. That's what I remember. Park Ridge, one of those.
It's fun.
In one of the dumbest stories I've ever heard, there's a new trend where people are wearing soccer cleats when not playing soccer. That's right. Everyday life. People have them on just to run errands. It's become a viral sensation.
Why?
With the hashtag #BootsOnlySummer. And apparently that's turned them into a fashion statement. I hate it.
That's got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
But didn't I just say
you're telling
that at
me,
the beginning?
Yeah, she did,
yeah,
actually.
Just checking.
Well, you know what I was doing? I was doing my research on the Indy 500 numbers.
Oh, okay.
And I confirmed that they're correct.
Okay. Not 11, one person in
1,100. One in every 1,100.
Huh.
That's
right.
I don't believe that at all. Okay. So I still don't believe it. But let me just say this. What were we talking about?
Cleats.
Oh, so they're wearing, I can see them wearing soccer shoes, but the actual cleats are still attached?
Cleats.
Okay, that is dumb.
It's ridiculous. Hard surfaces, of course, cause the spikes to wear down faster, and you look like an idiot.
Are they dumber than Crocs, though, if we're really being honest?
Well, you know, yeah,
legitimate
I think
question.
So. I don't know. I wear my Crocs, but only in the house in the winter. Because it keeps your feet warm.
My daughter loves her Crocs. And here's the other thing about Crocs. Brilliant. I wish I would have come up with this. They do these little things that you can kind of screw into the top of the Crocs. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah,
but all the kids have
little decorations.
Yeah. It's brilliant because they make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah, they are no rookies. And finally, at Sue's News, we do have today's random fact. Okay, the U.S. used to have more time zones than we do now, like a lot.
No.
In the early 1800s, Fred, cities could set their own time based on the sun. And there were 144 separate time zones. We got down to four in the continental U.S. by 1883. But before then, it was a free-for-all. Yeah. I like the sun to set. I say it's five.
Isn't it?
I didn't
in
know
some
that.
Parts of the world, it's odd. It's like Baghdad is, you know, not by hours. It's like by half hours difference.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you know.
What are you people doing?
7.5 hours difference.
And, and here again, we talked about this a couple of months ago. I don't hear anything from the big, beautiful bill where they're doing anything on daylight saving time, right?
Uh-uh.
There was discussion about that, but no action. All right, there you go. Sue's News for Thursday is in the books. We'll do it again tomorrow, Friday edition. Hang in there.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't even think I've mentioned this because the news cycle is so crazy, but the president announced on Tuesday this plan for what he called a Golden Dome to protect the U.S. from long-range missiles. This is inspired, of course, by what they have in Israel. Here's the announcement from Tuesday afternoon.
This design for the Golden Dome will integrate with our existing defense capabilities and should be fully operational before the end of my term. So we'll have it done in about 3 years. Once fully constructed, the Golden Dome will be capable of intercepting missiles, even if they are launched from other sides of the world, and even if they are launched from space.
Wait, I thought there was a third term, so that would give them a little bit more time. I'm kidding about that. But this is fascinating. It's also very expensive. And Brett Velikovich, who's been with us before to talk about some drone technology, he's an Army veteran, former special ops tech analyst, Fox News contributor, back with us. Brett, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show.
So what is the, I guess, maybe your initial reaction? We know that this has been successful in Israel, but we have a country over there that's the size, as my producer Fred said, the size of New Jersey. It's a little bigger here, and now I think Canada wants to get involved. Is this even realistic, in your opinion?
Yeah, definitely. And it's needed more than ever. But realistically, we are going to have to pull together a bunch of different companies, a lot of different tech, a lot of advanced systems are going to have to communicate and integrate with each other to make this a reality. I think a lot of people liken it to Israel's Iron Dome, but when you look at what Iron Dome is meant to do, it's really meant to protect against short-range missile threats. And this is a lot of terrain to cover. We're talking about focusing on long-range threats. We're talking about focusing on hypersonic missiles and ICBMs and new advanced and lethal drone technology. And the time is now for us to start protecting our own homeland with something, because the reality is that the enemies out there, like China, North Korea, Iran, they're developing these offensive long-range missile systems at an alarming rate. And we've really got to do something to protect ourselves, because our defenses, frankly, are outdated. When you look at our own U.S. military, U.S. missile defenses that are positioned around the United States, they were designed to counter rogue threats, but they're over 20 years old, and I think they'd have little effect today against the hypersonic weapons that are being created by countries like China.
So when you talk about hypersonic missiles, how would you define those, and how far can they be launched, for example? I've said this jokingly to friends that are on the West Coast. Hey, when things heat up on the planet and you think, hopefully we're not heading toward a nuclear conflict, but let's face it, we just had a situation with Pakistan. You're like, well, I feel pretty safe here in Missouri. I'm not sure about the coast, but are these being developed so they can hit anywhere on our soil here in this country?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're already using, Russia's using hypersonic missiles currently in Ukraine. And every so often you'll see these missiles launched into the capital, and they're fired a lot of times faster than air alarms or even able to alert people to get to shelter. These are really fast missiles that are extremely accurate and have been developed by countries like Russia and China, all intended on striking U.S. interests. When you look at some of the stuff that China's been doing, the Pentagon just announced, I guess they did a a war plan, and they did a bunch of scenarios, and what they realized last month was that China was able to destroy all U.S. aircraft carriers within just 20 minutes of a massive war where they would launch their own current hypersonic missile arsenals. And that should really scare people. That should make people wake up that we are in an arms race with countries like China. We are in a technology race. And the fact is, China's starting to even look at a lot of space technology, right? So they've been talking about now trying to amass dozens of these orbiting missiles in space that could be equipped with nuclear warheads that could really destroy our civilization as we know it. And so this Golden Dome is really designed to counter that. And if we do it right, it's really going to render a lot of our enemies intercontinental ballistic missile threats obsolete. And that's what we want to do. We want to protect our country from those future threats that we're going to face.
So, Brett, I'm old enough to remember in the 80s when Ronald Reagan announced what was referred to as Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative, and it was mocked by a lot of people at the time. I mean, this is exactly what we're talking about right now. Is there a way to define what the Golden Dome would be as opposed to what we may already have available with satellites? How would it work technologically?
So, there's a lot of different moving pieces of this, right? What the plan is currently is to integrate a multi-layered defense shield, right? And it's leveraging ground systems, sea systems, air, and even these space-based technologies, including satellites and interceptors. And that's what I'm most excited about is sort of the space component of all this. And what you're talking about here is really looking at integrating defense systems using hundreds of low Earth orbit satellites all working together, doing missile detection, doing missile tracking. Some of these satellites are going to be equipped with kinetic missile interceptors and also non-kinetic laser capabilities to neutralize threats. And it seems so futuristic and almost alien-like, but the reality is we have a lot of these systems sort of developed and prototypes that exist, but nothing's really been fully integrated. And so when you look at what's being designed, really it's pulling together some of America's best technology and energizing American innovation and pulling the best and brightest minds in American technology together to really build something like that's never been created before. And in my opinion, this is going to be the most powerful missile system ever built. But it is going to cost, make no mistake, a lot of money. This is going to transcend multiple administrations. I don't think they'll have it done before Trump leaves office, but he's going to kick it in gear and leave it to where other administrations can finish this, we hope. But, the reality is it's just something that we need because we got to stay ahead of our enemies. We got to get back to becoming being known as the world's leading technological superpower, which we've steered away from. I mean, we're seeing other countries just develop these systems and it are light years ahead of us. So I'm glad we're sort of modernizing the U.S. defense arsenal and bringing us back into the 21st century so we can get ahead of these future threats.
Because realistically, we should have been talking about this a long time ago. Now, with the cost estimates, you know, Trump says $175 billion. The CBO says $542 billion over the next two decades. I can't even believe I'm about to say what I'm about to say. But even $542 billion for something like this sounds like it won't be enough money.
Yeah, I think you're right. But currently, it's all just estimates, right? We really don't know what the contractors like a Lockheed or a SpaceX require to get this system done. I think if we look at the spending, just in the last few decades, we haven't got our heads wrapped around for doing it properly. And I think if any administration is going to do it right and actually try and get the cost down to do something like this, it's going to be the current administration. But no, I think this is something that just it's going to be astronomical in cost. But what's what's it worth to protect American lives?
I mean, that's the most important thing. That is a, you know, you can talk about DOGE and cutbacks and things like that. I'm not one that's risk averse to looking at the Department of Defense if there's waste, but this is a constitutional responsibility. This is something that we need to be doing. And again, it's one of those things, because typically what we do in this country, we certainly did it in the aftermath of 9/11, we react after something terrible happens, right? You need to be proactive, especially when these other countries are out there being proactive.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, right, is we have to stay ahead of our competitors, and our competitors are these other countries that are looking to dominate the cyberspace. They're looking to dominate artificial intelligence. And my fear is, you know, our defenses are not modernized because we've got this sort of archaic military-industrial complex right now that is just not equipped for innovation. It's not equipped for speed. And that forces us to lag behind other countries who are willing to move fast. I see this a lot. I deal a lot with the drone space, and I see this a ton where I see these other new technologies being developed, and the U.S. government won't put enough money into our own domestic manufacturers to do it because it's just going to take too long, and it's going to be burdened with all kinds of bureaucratic hurdles, while these other countries are able to just pipe a bunch of money into a particular piece of drone technology, and then next thing you know, they're ahead of everyone else. So this is really all about deterrence. It's about enhancing our national security, and it's about energizing American innovators, and that's what we got to get back to.
Absolutely. Well, look, and even to your point, if it takes multiple administrations, if we haven't done it yet, and I always think that there's things that we don't know about, certainly they're a secret, but this would certainly be a good time to get this on the table and move forward, see where the technology can take us, and allocate at least the funding to get rolling on this, is what I hear from you.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a lot of us remember last year when we had those drone incursions over Jersey and Langley Air Force Base and some of our key strategic sites. And we still don't really have a lot of answers for what was occurring. What were people seeing in the air? And that's a problem. And I think it was a wake-up call for people to understand we just don't really know how to classify what's in the airspace. We had Chinese spy balloons flying over us for who knows how long before we were able to understand it. And so this dome sort of is designed to bring us back into a position of strength and a position to where we know what's above us. And that's the future of warfare, is going to be aerial threats and cyber threats. It's not always going to be these physical boots on the ground. And at some point, we're going to have to spend the money to invest in our own homeland defenses. And I think we spend a little bit too much money on propping up foreign countries' missile defenses. And that's got to stop. We've got to protect our own house first before we do that.
And I think President Trump certainly realizes this. Just a question, a little off topic because of your background. I've been talking about this a little bit on the air. Have you watched The American Manhunt, The Hunt for Osama bin Laden doc on Netflix, the new one?
I have not watched it, but a bunch of folks have hit me up about it. It's
incredible.
It's great.
Now, you know probably a lot more about we've been told this story before, and I've had Robert O'Neill on. He wrote a book. But, man, I'll tell you what, it is incredible. You know, it's three parts, and someone like you would know a lot more about all the technology and the things that they were doing anyway, but it blew me away. My producer, Ethan, who got you on the phone here too, he couldn't stop watching it the other night, so I would highly recommend it. It's brand new on Netflix. Brett, always great to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All
appreciate
right, take you. Care. Yeah, we'll probably talk about that a little bit more with Paul Hall when he joins us in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow on Entertainment after a Friday edition of Sue's News.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Chicago Bears legend Brian Urlacher spoke out on this girls' sports issue today, and I give him credit for that, but I still can't. I think he said something that's very relatable here.
There are certain things we do better than women. It's just, it's not, number one, it's fair. And if I had a daughter, who had to be forced to play against a man. I would not be okay with it, and I would definitely raise hell about it.
But he also said, I can't believe that we're even having discussions like this. And we had a meeting in Naperville, that's a suburb of Chicago, a couple of nights ago, because you had a transgender, well, let's just say this, you had a boy who won multiple girls' events at a track meet at the middle school a few days ago in May. And here's one of the fathers here.
All the parents that we talked to afterwards were in shock and couldn't believe that they were allowing boys to run against girls. It's like they're trying to erase women's sports, erase women. It's no longer Mother's Day. I have no words for it. I just don't understand. And where are all the feminists that fought for equal rights, equal protection for women? And they're nowhere to be heard now.
Yeah, we've asked that question many times. But listen to the support that the boys who are taking awards from girls are getting at these meetings.
What we do want is to ensure basic fairness for our girls.
This is an attempt to further marginalize a group and tell them that they don't belong.
To the students and families who are being targeted, I am so sorry you are experiencing this hate.
It's not about J.B. Pritzker and it's not about Donald Trump. This is about protecting our female students.
Look, I'm going to tell you don't belong. Yeah, I'm going to say that. You don't belong if you're a biological male in a competition against little girls. Shannon Adcock is here. She's the founder of Awake Illinois. She's been with us before. There's now two federal civil rights complaints related to Title IX that have been filed against Naperville. Shannon, welcome back. I honestly, and I know you can't believe this, that we're having this discussion. It's like we've talked about these 90-10 issues. They're no longer 80-20. They're 90-10 issues, but here we are again in Naperville, right?
Right. Well, thank you for covering this issue. You know, leftist progressivism has no limiting principles. So those of us who have been sounding the alarm on woke ideology, DEI, all of this is tied together. It is this neo-Marxist oppressive narrative, and they're trying to say that this boy is a protected class who somehow has better rights than the females, and we're done with it. So what's interesting is in these suburbs of Chicago, you have a lot of liberal people who have sat on their high horse of progressivism, and now that their daughters are crying on the track field, now it's not so cute anymore. So we welcome these people with open arms as they wake up, because their children are paying a heavy price for ushering in all of this garbage.
But you would almost think with some of the media coverage that the support is exactly opposite, wouldn't you?
You would, but there's a reason for that. You know, leftist progressives are very mean. They're cruel people. They do character assassinations. They'll harass you, your family, your employer. And so people see what's happened to me and, you know, the last 5 years of this work, and they say, ooh, you know, I don't know if I want that heat on me. And they don't want to have their children face retribution either. So there's a lot of fear, and I understand that. But I got to tell you, more and more parents are finding their courage, and they're speaking up. Come hell or high water, they're going to speak up for their girls.
So in this particular situation, this was at Jefferson Middle School in Naperville, and I don't know if it was the father that I just played the audio, but I know that I heard one of the fathers whose daughter finished in fourth place and would have finished, you know, on the podium had it not been for the boy who, you know, who beat her out, right?
Right. So his daughter's actually in a neighboring district that came together with Naperville District 203 for this combined meet. So there were two different districts that sanctioned this meet. And so certainly the neighboring district had, you know, they didn't know. But also I'm talking to people in Naperville District 203 who didn't know that there was a biological male competing until they showed up to the meet. You know, not every parent, especially working parents, are able to go to all of these track meets, and you don't compete against the same people every, you know, every meet. And so a lot of people didn't find this out until the day of the meet, and then we're talking about it afterwards and they were surprised. And so you know, it's just a shame that now these parents are having to talk to their girls and saying, you know what, if a boy takes to your swimming pool or your court or your track or field, you're going to have to stand down and not compete, because you're going to have to assume you're going to lose by one. But the minute that you enforce this, it's over for these girls. So these poor children in this generation, they're being exploited. I believe the boy involved in this is being exploited. All these kids, they're paying a heavy price right now, and it's so wrong, and it's all because of adult failures.
It really is. Now, we shut down this nonsense here in St. Louis because Jamie Reed came forward and Washington University shamefully had their clinic at Children's Hospital that's no longer there. But you had someone, I guess, that testified the other night from a clinic in Minneapolis. I guess that state should not surprise us. And this is what we hear a lot. She says, shutting out trans girls, I'll just correct that, shutting out boys helps no one, and it is profoundly harmful to those that it excludes. On the surface, it removes opportunities for physical activity, for fitness, for belonging. So what, how do you look, it's an issue of fairness for me. You don't want to keep people from being physically active. Is there any compromise in any of this? Because it's just nuts that it's even gotten this far.
Well, no. I mean, the boy has every opportunity to compete in the boys' sports teams, right? So he has the equal opportunity. But the equal opportunity of the girls is being denied them when the boy infiltrates their sports team. So I know some parents at the Naperville School District suggested a tertiary category where it could be, you know, co-ed, opt in if you want to, regardless of how you identify, and see where the chips fall. I don't believe most girls are going to want to do the co-ed because they know they're going to get smoked, but you at least have a tertiary category. But I think that that's actually still capitulating. It's capitulating to this woke ideology that says you can have gender fluidity when we have males and we have females. Each should be afforded their equal opportunity to play in their sex-separated sport, end of story. So I'm not into the whole, like, tertiary category because I think that's capitulating to this insanity, and you're permitting the notion of brainwashing a child to believe that they can become the opposite sex.
You're right.
I don't believe
that,
in endorsing that or sanctioning that at all.
Absolutely. You're right about that. And how do you even account for this idiot J.B. Pritzker in your state? Because we're pretty lucky. We're across the river.
You know, J.B. Pritzker's silence on this issue is deafening, isn't it? I think he knows this is a losing issue. He's trying to step closer and closer to a national stage. And, you know, it's going to be hard for people to not associate him with this ideology because all of his politics have leaned into wokeism and transgenderism. And his cousin has put a lot of his personal wealth into the Taiwani Foundation that has funneled money to Lurie Children's Hospital to push this gender madness on kids. And so, you know, he's synonymous with it, but the fact that he is quiet right now tells me that he knows this is a losing issue, even for his own base, because they're seeing their girls harmed now.
Look, I have a young woman who is 15 years old who lives next door to me. She plays high school softball, and she was very aware, her teammates are very aware, that there is a pitcher in Minnesota who is a biological boy who is throwing at speeds that no girls can. You know that case. No girls can throw the ball that fast. And the ERA is Hall of Fame worthy if you were in Major League Baseball. So these young athletes around the country, they're dialed into this now. And the parents hopefully are more dialed into it. And Shannon, God bless you for bringing this stuff to the surface. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on here tonight.
Thank you. Take care.
That's Shannon Adcock. She's with Awake Illinois, and good for her on the lawsuits. We'll see where maybe takes us to some success. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com coming up after the news.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.